It's a winner-winner chicken dinner.
Why is it always chicken dinner?
Why isn't it a winner-winner hedgehog and dinner?
Well, it is now.
Minisode.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes. Oh, Gary.
Oh, shit. Best coffee ever.
What flavor coffee do we have today? Is it real coffee or is it your powdered mix?
It is what? Mocha.
Don't you dare say mocha. I knew you were going to say mocha. Mocha is not coffee, I'm sorry.
Fucking says it on the packet.
Don't believe everything you read, Germano. Oh, boy. So,
I'll send you up a sachet.
A sachet. You keep your sachets to yourself, all right? Hey, I got a real kick out of Jarrett Jacks through the week.
Yeah, that was good.
The momentum's building. More players are starting to come out. We're starting to see more and more be, you know, voicing their opinions on the jerseys, on the sleeve jerseys.
You've done it again, haven't you?
Done what?
You've started a Minisode, haven't you?
Oh, the Minisode started a while ago.
Oh. Switched on.
But, I mean, he's come out and said he's disgusted by the Adidas sleeves. They make him feel like he's a beach police.
Mate, what do you want me to say? And nothing that we haven't said before.
It's fantastic. I'll just, look, tip of the hat.
Absolutely.
Like we've said on the show before, the players complained enough of when they brought the new balls in. If they get together and enough complaints are made, I think we can get rid of these sleeve jerseys.
Yeah, we need more big names coming out, though.
Yeah. LeBron mentioned it, you know, after his little slump the other day, which was fantastic. But I really, like this, the comments by Jack, I actually thought we're going to be met with a fine, but nothing as of yet.
We need KD to jump on there.
KD?
Yep.
I get a feeling he likes it, though. Because he hasn't exactly got the biggest arms in the world.
That's true.
You know, just saying.
Yeah, strength in numbers, as they say. So hopefully Mr. Silver takes notice. Got to keep his players happy.
Now, we are speaking of taking notice, rather. Phil Jackson, the Knicks.
Yes. I love it.
You love the move?
Absolutely, I really do.
So we're basically waiting. I mean, we're recording the night before New York's supposed big announcement, which doesn't really feel like a big surprise at all. Unless Phil Jackson comes out in a chicken suit or something like that. But seriously, you'd like, as a Laker fan, like I really thought you would have had, you know, a different thought pattern behind this.
No, because we can't keep going back to Phil Jackson. We really can't. You know, guess what, people? Before Phil Jackson, we had Pat Riley and we had Jerry West, and before that, I don't know. No, we had Paul Westhead and guys like that. So we've just got to find our new Phil.
Your new Zen master.
Exactly. We just can't keep going back to Phil. He's not going to be around forever.
You touched on it. Like, I keep getting that whole vibe of when Pat Riley left the Lakers for the New York.
Yeah, but if people think Phil's going to coach, think again. He won't coach.
He wants, like, head office position.
Yeah, he's president. He's pretty much Pat Riley.
Do you think... Because I get the feeling New York are going to try and put him in the head coaching seat for a season before moving him up. I think kind of that's the move.
What gives you that idea?
I just get the vibe.
It's the vibe of the thing.
I'm not a vibes guy, though. You're the vibes guy in the show.
Yeah, I don't get that vibe.
Yeah, you don't get the vibe?
Gift.
Okay.
It really is good.
You can't just say you got the vibe. Like, you know,
you haven't got the vibe.
I haven't got the vibe. I have no vibe. There's no vibe going on over here. I'm blue. We don't get vibes.
You've got ugly teeth. but I'm not sold on him as a front office guy.
I don't mind it.
You know, he recommended Mo Cheeks to the Pistons.
Well, did he?
Well, yes, he was the consultant.
I don't think he did. I think if Phil Jackson was... made the call on the coaching job in Detroit, I get the feeling that he would probably be in a head in a GM position somewhere over there. But
hey, I'll tweet Keelan King,
yep,
who is probably Detroit's biggest fan,
mm-hmm,
and he will confirm what I just said.
Okay.
All right. Don't nag it.
I'm not buying it. I'm not totally sold on it. But I do.
Dude, it was reported.
No, it was reported.
Media outlets.
Look, I like the move as far as New York goes because they haven't got any cap space. They're not going to be signing anyone really big.
Yeah, what's he going
to
do?
No one wants to make any trades, right? Fair call?
They've got
no draft picks. So I actually feel like this is actually the best possible thing that could have happened for Knicks fans and Phil Jackson. But I actually like it because people will want to play for Phil Jackson. It's their best way to, you know, look, if they can unload Amari, they can unload Tyson Chandler or even a Mello. I mean, if there's a chance they can unload some cap, I think that having Phil Jackson there is enough to bring in talent. Well, look at it this way. It's their best shot, right?
At the moment, yeah. But more beneficial if he was a coach attracting talent. I mean, he's got a tough job. Like, for all those reasons you just said, no picks, no one wants Amari. People want Mello, people want Chandler. Hardaway Jr. is a chip. Don't think they'd get rid of him. He'll gut that team, but I just don't know.
I don't see Mello as a field guy, so I reckon they'll look to unload, sign and trade, come this draft, and Phil will make his first big pick for the Knicks this draft.
There's no way he's a field guy. I noticed today he came out and said, if Phil wants me to change my game, I will, because Phil came out early in the year and said, Mello needs to pass more, the ball can't stop with Mello. I think he's gone anyway, Mello. I don't think this is enough to keep him.
Mm. Well, if he is gone, the other rumour we've heard through the week is that the Houston Rockets might be making a hard push for Mello.
I really hope that happens.
Do you think a Dwight, James Harden, Carmelo Anthony combination can work?
Hell no, not with Mello. You kidding? They have to bring out two balls.
Moneyball.
There's no... Go there, Mello, please. Stuff up that whole chemistry.
Mm.
Dwight will piss and moan like this. I've never heard him piss and moan before. He needs to go to the Bulls.
I could see it happening, though. I could actually see him signing with Houston. I could see that happening and that blowing up.
Well, I want that.
It's ego versus ego, right? Like, and this is, like you said, there's one ball, Dwight's, but, you know, Dwight signed on with the assumption that, you know, he'd be getting more touches by trading for Mello. You know, they're basically taking the ball out of his hands. That means Harden's losing more touches of the ball. And for a guy who gets to the line, 11 to 12 times a game, I mean, I just don't see happy campers. And then it's like, well, what piece are they going to move to create that flex for Mello there? It means Jeremy Lin's got to go, right? Like,
yeah, well, that was the rumour, wasn't it? Wasn't it the Jeremy Lin package? And
Jeremy Lin, a chic...
Throwing Terry Jones.
Give him a pick for Mello. Like, I don't know, man. It's.
I wouldn't take that.
I don't know if I like the sounds of that as far as, you know, from the Knicks brass.
No, you can get a lot more than that for Mello.
And do they really... New York don't really want to bring back Jeremy Lin. You know, they've already got the egg on their face for letting him go.
Well, why wouldn't you want to bring him back?
Because it's James Dolan we're talking about here.
How long... Like, James Dolan, he's got a guy following Woodson around everywhere. How long does that have to fill?
Oh. Well, I loved, we heard that some of the Knicks fans were getting together to protest outside of Madison Square Garden. Now, they did this knowing that, you know, nothing was going to change. You know, they can't, you know, they're not expecting Dolan to get fired. But the fact that your fans, you know, are that upset with the decisions and moves that's been happening, that they would actually protest... And word was, there was a few hundred, like...
They want Dolan.
Obviously, they'd love to have him gone, but he's not going to up and sell the team. I mean,
he's,
you know,
going
it's
anywhere.
In New York. It's, you know, but, you know, they were very clear that they understood that this was never going to happen. But the fact they wanted their voice heard and, you know, they're upset with the moves. I mean, it's all quietened down now since the Phil Jackson, you know, rumours and happenings have taken place, but pretty interesting.
That is interesting. That might be the future for Jim Buss. That might happen down at Staples. Laker fans on Twitter, Phil's gone. Move on.
Are people still complaining about it?
Oh, mate. There are some people on Twitter that make me want to quit being a Lakers fan. They piss and moan.
Vince,
piss and moan.
There are some people on Twitter who are the reason why I'm not on Twitter.
Well, you're on Twitter, you're just not active.
But I actually like your reasoning. You talked a little bit on it on your other show, Showtime and T-Wolves. Great show for everyone out there. Check it out if you want to hear more of Inrock. But you were talking about, you know, he hasn't exactly done such a bad job. I mean, he did get Chris Paul.
He had him.
I mean, it's not his fault the commish vetoed the deal.
Yep. And like I said on that show.
On that show.
On Showtime.
Why are you going to be that guy for?
Well, you said mention the show. People know Showtime T was proudly brought to you by Tall Grass Brewing Company.
Sure. Rub it in. Rub it in, big guy.
I can't believe someone wants to host a show that I host. But he loved Andrew Bynum, wanted to build around Andrew Bynum. He saw Bynum's knees were stuffed, and he made the choice to get rid of him. As long as with Kupchak, he's got grapefruits. He's got the stones, the plums to make decisions and try and get players.
Yeah, sometimes I think he just doesn't get the credit he's deserved. I mean, granted, a lot of his decisions and that haven't panned out as of yet, but I do feel like it's all in the scheme of a bigger picture, you know, two seasons away.
Well, I don't know if you've heard Steve Nash on Bill Simmons. He even said today, when I listened to it, you know, it's about next season, after next season. Well, it's about the draft, then the season after that, and the season after that for the Lakers. So, you know, Jim and Mitch, just let them do what they're supposed to do. You know, judge them after in 3 years, see who we've got. Then call us. Not now. I mean, Christ, I've said it before. Big shoes to fill with Jerry passing away. You know, even the Steinbrenners copped it in the New York Yankees organization. Yeah. You know, his son was supposed to be a peanut. They've won 2 World Series since he passed away.
How do you like those apples?
How do you like those apples? I like it. Should be in a championship ring. How do you like them apples?
That's right. Yeah. Look, you mentioned Steve Nash. I did want to talk about with you. People have gotten up in arms about the whole Nash and him coming out and saying, well, not coming out and saying, he was answering, you know, those who've been, I suppose, questioning his health and his fitness and where he's at, and, you know, he should hang him up, and he basically come out and said, you know, look, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm not going anywhere, I have no plans to retire, and, you know, if you're really going to break it down, I want the money.
Love it.
So everyone got up in a roar because he said he wants the money. I mean, first of all, it's great to have honest athletes.
It's refreshing.
It's refreshing. I mean, it really is. I mean, like, just hearing Jared Jack talk about the sleeve jerseys this week was like, yes, thank you. We don't have another NBA robot on our hands. And then Steve Nash, I mean, I can understand, you know, especially Laker fans, you know, saying that this is going to tarnish his legacy all this garbage. I can understand where they're coming from. And, you know, as far as Steve Nash is not the reason why Lakers are losing this year. The other thing is, too, like, he's fit.
Oh, dude.
He's not out of shape. He's injured. There's a big difference. It's not as if Steve Nash has come into this year out of shape and all banged up. I mean, he's fit and ready to go. You don't get on the court if you're not fit.
Yep.
So I like it. I look, he said on his little mini documentary, check him out, The Finish Line, they're called. I think they're up to episode 3 now, but I loved it, and I hope Nash comes back to shut a lot of the people up.
And I just want to say to those people who give him crap for taking the money, I'd like to see them leave $9 million or, you know, receive a buyout and be happy with $2 million out of $9 million. They wouldn't leave it on the table.
No.
And you know what? When he's right, when his body's right, he can still help and produce.
Yeah.
He proved it this year.
I mean, look, I don't think he's going to get starters minutes again. You know, I think this is that leaf where he's turned that page where, okay, his body's not going to allow him to play 82 games a season. But that doesn't mean he can't be your second string.
I'd be happy to give a 40-year-old Steve Nash 25 minutes a game. The way he runs a team, the leadership, he's still a dead-eye dick when he shoots the ball. Don't worry about defense. He's never played defense.
Plus, how many guys in the league, a lot younger than Steve Nash, you know, in a position that he's in, come in and, like, no one's outworking Steve Nash. No one's as focused and working harder. No one's going to outwork Steve Nash to get back on the court.
I'm 100% with you.
Do you know what I mean? There's plenty of guys sitting on rosters that you can yell out instead of Steve Nash for not being in shape and taking the damn time getting ready.
Absolutely. I think he's going to be okay. I really do.
Yeah.
He's still got that fire and drive to play, which is good. But the thing I keep coming back to is when he's worth a gamble, because when he's fit, he still can drop 19, 20 on any given night and dish out 7, 8, 9, 10 assists. I'm not saying it's going to be his average.
I honestly think, this is like, honestly, if you had to put a gun to my head, I think if he can get right, I think he can be a 10-10 guy off that bench. Yeah, he's too good a shooter. He's too good at the line.
Yep.
He's too crafty. He's too smart. He's just a little too banged up right now.
Yeah, he hasn't lost a thing skill-wise. No. Not a thing. A lot of guys, when they get to that age, their shot's not what it used to be, but he's still got it.
Yeah.
He's still got it. Don't worry about that.
Hey, I love this. I love this. I can't wait to talk about this with you. But, you know, it's a little bit old news, but I still want to talk about it because, God damn it, we can. Marcin Gortat. His comments. If you could change anything in the NBA right now, what would you change? And he said he wants the NBA to ease up on their tightness, I suppose, with the banging and the bashing, and they should just let them fight like hockey. Let them beat the crap out of each other. Ratings would go up. It'd get sorted out there and then on the court. I love it. I love it. I want to see it happen.
That's not going to happen.
Can we bring out a game, a courtside game, where, like, remember Basketball Brawl? Do you remember Basketball Brawl?
Oh, yeah, I used to play it at times, though.
Oh, great game. Great game. That's what NBA should be like.
Dude.
Let's see how tough these guys are.
Can you imagine all the blood on the court?
Look, if they can clean it up off ice, they can clean it off polished hardwood floor. Don't worry about that.
Helmets on. They had helmets and gloves on and padding.
Look, it'll sort it out even quicker. It'll take less time than the refs going back and looking at the camera.
Gortat's got an advantage. He's got that extra reach with his nose poking the eye.
I would love to see that. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. What a suggestion.
I think you're a bit of a violent prick. Really blood and shit all over the court.
It'll get mopped up in no time.
Oh, that's not. I don't think that's quite the spectacle.
No blood, no foul, Vince.
It's not the spectacle that Adam Silver wants projected over TV.
Probably not. I wouldn't want to project on my TV either.
And LeBron. LeBron. LeBron would just run anyway. He'd flop.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's sort of the real tough guys out in the league. Yeah. Pretty quick, smart.
Who would you back in a fight right now in the NBA? Who would you want in your corner? I'm going Reggie Evans.
Reggie Evans? Yeah, but you do something bitch. Like, you like grab their nuts or something.
Who gives a shit as long as you win?
Yeah, Reggie Evans, I suppose. I reckon Matt Barnes. I'd take that.
Matt Barnes, he is.
No, do you reckon?
No.
Well, every week we hit the Facebook page, All Caps Courtside, and ask you guys what team's a topic you'd like to hear us talk about on the next show. And we have a few. Brenton Cunningham, loyal Courtside member. Sorry, I've got you off like four times tonight.
That's right, we call him Fritzel.
Fritzel?
Yeah.
Is there a story behind Fritzel?
There is, and he's going to kill me, but...
Tell him.
Well, at work, this old guy came in, and he's taken a bit of liking to Brendan, because he does look like Freddie Mercury, so take, you know...
Understandable.
Understandable. Anyway, this old guy, he was helping this old guy out, and he's really nice to him and all that sort of stuff, and then... Brenton had to go to this guy's house to set up his, you know, entertainment system and stuff.
Uh-oh, that sounds kinky.
And nothing happened, but Brenton got a bit freaked out after a little while. And on Valentine's Day, this old guy came in and goes, oh, I've got a present for you.
What?
And he gives him a CD. And we don't know what's on the CD because Brenton's too scared to put it in his computer. So we nicknamed the guy Fritzel. After Joseph Fritzel. So now Cunningham's nickname is Fritzel. And
Brentel,
so yeah, message Cunningham and just say, g'day, Fritzel.
Fritzel Cunningham.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that is scary. I don't blame him.
It is a bit scary.
Yeah.
And the other day.
In saying that, though, I'm a little intrigued what's on the CD.
Yeah, I'm going to take it because it's on top of his work locker, so I'm just going to take it.
Find out. We want to update next show.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to grab it tomorrow.
Next minisode, we'll... Remind me that you fritzled the CD and find out what it is.
Dude, an old guy winked at him
You winked at him.
No, an old guy.
Separate old guy.
Yep. He's got two fritzels going for him.
Oh, boy.
Cunningham sandwich.
We digress. Fritzel wants to know.
That's it.
Why does everyone want to start something with Blake Griffin? Does he instigate it or is he targeted?
I think they try and just get into his head, rough him up a bit, hoping that he retaliates, maybe gets ejected. That's my belief.
I think he's playing a little too well this year.
He is.
And it's really frustrating, guys. I think, you know, two seasons ago you could have gotten Blake Griffin's head. We saw it in the Grizzlies series, you know, not so long ago,
yep.
Where Z-Bo really went to work on him in that series.
Yeah, and credit to Griffin for not letting him now get into his head.
I mean, what else are you going to do with a guy who can jump out of the gym, is built the way he's built, as strong as he yep. is? I mean, honestly, all us older guys out there, you know what I'm talking about. You hit that age, you hit that, you know, your own athletic ability declines a little. You've got to resort to a few, you know, old dog tactics just to keep yourself in the game sometimes, because when that kid's running down at you and he's 70 years old and he's, you know, 6'8" and he's got handles with both hands and can jump out the gym, yeah, you've got to put a hit on him. Let him know, yeah. hey, yeah. I might be older, but...
Better close line.
You know, I'm just saying. I'm not saying I endorse that kind of behaviour, Vince, but I'm not saying I'm above it either.
I regret not clotheslining Nick Youngfer. Nah, I wouldn't do that to Nick. He's a good name.
Our next question comes from Stu Benson, and he wants to know, why on earth would Nerlens Noel debut this late in the season? Forget this season and have a run at Rookie of the Year in 2014-15.
Good point there.
And Ben he said, you too, Anthony Bennett. Zing!
Very, very humorous.
I would wait out the year. I mean... What? Look, Philly's just lost their 21st game in a row.
That's what I was going to say.
Franchise record.
You've got to give the fans something, don't you?
Franchise record. You're doing it wrong.
Look, if he's ready to go, got clearance, I said...
You think let him play like the last 10 games?
Yep. Gives the fans something to be excited about. God help them, they need everything they can get at the minute. Why not? Let him pick up the pace of the NBA game.
No, I think... Last 10 games to go, let him just ride out the rest of the season. Nothing that would be worse than him re-aggravating or being as depleted as that roster is right now, overplaying him the last 10 games.
You wouldn't overplay him. You just give him a little taste.
Honestly, I'd rather let him start off next season fresh. You know he's going to be 100% ready to go and a whole training camp under his belt.
I don't have anything against that either, but if he's going to do his knee again, he's going to do his knee again. Whether it's coming in now or later.
True.
If it's going to blow, it's going to blow.
That is true.
She said, waving her wooden leg.
Our next question comes from Jamal Graham, who celebrated his 21st birthday the other day. So happy birthday, Jamal. And he wants to know, what does LeBron's 61 points against the Bobcats the other day mean for his legacy?
Didn't we answer this last week?
No, we talked about it off air.
I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, I don't actually think it does anything for him.
Just means he couldn't get to 81.
Zing!
I'm not really sure what it does for his...
I mean, it's one of those little fun facts that I think we'll look back maybe 10, 15 years' time and go, oh,
don't get me wrong. When I saw it, I'm like, holy moly, you know, that's awesome. He scored 61. But I think his legacy is more... More about championships to him.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're that good, you know, and you're talking about legacy, unfortunately, it doesn't matter that he dropped that 61 points, as great as it is, because he is only going to be measured by his rings.
Yeah.
Because the 61 points means nothing if he's got no rings.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And don't get me wrong, it's fantastic to see LeBron score 61.
And my other thought behind it is, I don't think it's going to be the last time he drops 60-plus, so...
No, I don't think so either. He'll probably get 60 or 70 with the Lakers next year.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, you know we're going to throw money at him. You watch Craig Waller buy a Lakers jersey. Oh, guys, I've been a Lakers fan all my life.
Oh, boy.
He'll be like, let's go Lakers.
Okay, so our next question comes from Dan May. And he says, Al Jefferson and Anthony Davis, these guys are balling out of their skins.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of Anthony Davis yet. I think it's because he plays for the Pelicans. But Al, Al.
Al Jefferson, well, we talked about Al Jefferson on our last regular show, and we talked about those Bobcats and the difference he brought to that, you know, to that team. It was basically what they were missing last year. Last year, you know, 17 wins. This year, they've surpassed that because they have that low post presence. And, I mean, they didn't just go out and get a low post presence, you know, a back-to-the-basket guy. They went and got the best back-to-the-basket guy.
And I'm still flummoxed as to the reasons why the Knicks didn't offer him a deal.
A lot of teams, I think you could say. I mean, I've heard comments from Jefferson saying, you know, why did he pick the Bobcats? And he's kind of changed his tune a little bit. What he's saying now is that, you know, he wanted the chance to do something different. But I remember when he first signed there and they asked him a very similar question to that, his actually first answer was that they were basically the only team that made a run at him.
He said that
he was their first option, and he loved what he heard from them. He loved that he was their first option, and he liked what he was hearing and signed. And he got paid.
Well, exactly right. And best part is he got paid, and he's killing it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kemba Walker was one of the reasons why he signed there as well.
So, just to finish off, not a huge Anthony Davis fan.
No.
He's had some incredible games this year.
He has.
He had 8 blocks the other day, like 20. He had 40 plus points, 20 rebounds, and 8 blocks.
Yeah, and excellent game. Fantastic. I think it's a whole Pelicans thing. I don't like him. And if you play for him, I can't like him.
I just think it's his numbers are fantastic, but their record just stinks. Like, it's clearly, it's, you know, when you look at stuff like that and you look at these numbers for the year and you look where they're sitting, I mean, I know the West got better, but it's clear he's doing it all out there.
The whole franchise stinks.
It's a little DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento, right? I mean...
Well,
I mean, you know, all the talent, doing it all, but they stink.
They're freaking building.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. It's more impressive if they're winning.
I think both teams have... Well, I don't know about the Pelicans. I think talent-wise...
I think what hurt the Pelicans this year, Vince, is Drew Holiday going down.
Yeah, they miss him big time, but
they don't have Grievous. You know, who they had last year to run the ship.
Oh, that was stupid, getting rid of him.
You know, he got wrapped up in the deal for Drew, which is fair enough. Like, that's a great move on their behalf. But to lose him for the year and, you know, Spotty Gordon.
What's happened to him?
He's become Spotty from Super Ted.
Super Ted, refresh, please.
Do you know Super Ted?
Super Ted.
Remember the cartoon Super Ted? And his sidekick Spotty? Yellow with green spots?
No.
Oh. He had spots, Vince. And that's what Eric Gordon's game is this year. It's very Spotty.
You've lost your marbles.
While we're on the conversation of the Pelicans and, you know, courtside faithful Nick Younger, he's actually got a new side out. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see it. It's
rambunctious and slam dunctuous.
I'll tell you what, I don't like Younger, but...
it's a pearl of a sight. Lighthearted NBA nonsense at its best.
Yes, he's... Younger's a top bloke. I was just joking. He's got a wicked sense of humour and he's got a great writing style. For what it's worth.
Go on places, just support the Pelicans.
Yeah, get on the leg, this Memphis. See you tightly.
Here it comes!